Right, we're discussing the positions of Rav and Shmuel with regards to Mada, and that's being influenced, as we said before, by their interpretation of what the word Shor means. So we said Rav said that Mada is Adam Amazik, and Shmuel Amar Mada is Hashem. Right? And then we were asking why. Right? So at the end bottom of Gimel Mitzvah, we said Rav, my time Lamar to Shmuel. Why didn't Rav hold to Shmuel? Because Tana Shor, V'chomil is the Shor. Shor already included all categories of Shor. So now Mav is left over for Adam. Shmuel, Nami Hatana lay Shor. He also says Shor, so what is he going to do? So Amar Rav Yudha, Tana Shor the Karno. Shor means Karen, the damage of Karen. Umav is Shino. And Mav is a din on Shane. And of course, we'll have to later on, where's Rego now if you don't have Rafi Kamar? This is how we explain the Mishnah. So Karen is not like Shane. Although truthfully, the way to read this, and the Gemara is going to question it and then have to reverse it, is that we can't learn out Shane from Karen because Karen has no hana in its hezek, whereas Shane has hana in its hezek. Lo raya Shane, Shane kamar atolazik. Raya Karen, kamar atolazik. And Shane is not like Karen, meaning that you can't learn out Karen from Shane, because Karen is kavanot tola hazik, and Shane is in kavanot tola hazik. Where it says, v'lav kal v'chomer hu. The way you're structuring the statement here, it really turns out to be a kal v'chomer. Ma she'ein she'ein kavanot tola hazik chayav, Karen she kavanot tola hazik lo koshukein. Right? If you say that Karen doesn't Shane doesn't have this aspect to it of kavanot tola hazik, then Shane that does have that aspect certainly could be learned out of it. So where it says, itzrik, because I would think it's like a servant and a maidservant. Despite the fact that they have kavanat tola hazik, nevertheless they are patur, tire. Right, so why they're patur is a good question here. The Gemara is going to bring the reason in a second. Although right now, Rashi explains it's based on a Mishnah. And further on in the Masech, so it says that Evan and Isha, Pkiyatanra, that an Evan and Isha, their damage or in getting involved with them is, not so, it's negative. Because a Chovu Behen Chayav, you cause them damage, you're Chayav. Behen Shechavlu Bacharim Turim. If they cause others damage, they are Patur. Tosfos rejects that and says, well, the Mishnah, or the Gemara here didn't say Evan and Isha. The Mishnah says specifically Evan and Amma. And that, he says, is based on the Mishnah in Masechet Yadayim, which is the reason we're going to bring in a second. So we'll see it in a second, and we'll have to explain what those mean. So when it says, Hakanami Loshna, so we'll say the thing over here. Maybe Karen should be Patur, because it's Kavanat Tola Hazik, and just like Evan and Amma, it'll be Patur. So Amravashi, Atu, Evan Riyama, Lav Tama, Rabba, Yitzbuhu. And there's a very particular, good reason why Evan and Amma, we say, are Turim, despite the fact that they are Kavanat Tola Hazik. And what's that? And what is he going to do? He'll get upset at his master. His master will say something to him or, you know, be upset at the Eved and Amma. So in order to get revenge, the Eved and Amma will go and light his friend's field on fire. And he says, right, then what they can basically do is obligate it. In order to get revenge on their master, they basically can cause damage. And if their master is responsible for their damage, they could have a way to create an untenable situation where all they can take revenge, they can do whatever they want and obligate their master every single day. That's not possible to have it be that the master will be chayav for their actions. So that's the reason is particular to Eved V'Amma. So now, what's the way Tosus explains it? Tosus says that's the explanation of why is Eved V'Amma la'afogav the kamar tolazik afilu achib tu, right? The whole reason is Shema Yekzitenu Rabo, because maybe their master will get upset at them, and then they'll take revenge. Well, if that's the reason, then what's Ravashi coming along to add over here? I mean, that it seems to be that the Gemara didn't have that reason, and then Ravashi came along. So, the Tosfos explains that the Eved and Amma, right, has to do with Masechet Yadayim, of Shema Yekzitenu Rabo, and then, what do we... That the person who asked the question knew the answer already. He knew this idea that the reason behind it is so that the Eved can't take revenge or the Amma can't take revenge on the master. And why? So then, what were they thinking in the beginning? They think that the reason why they are chayav is because kavanatan lechazik, but their reason when they also are in kavanatan lechazik, they're pasur.
As you say, right. it doesn't really seem like much of a curve.
Right, there's no difference.
There's no other side.
Right, so that's the havamina of the Gemara was that whether it's kavanatan lechazik, whether it's not kavanatan lechazik, then the master will be patur. If that's the case, then it's not kavanatan lechazik that's creating the patur. The fact that they're an Evan and Amma, that's creating the Ptur and not the Kavanat Ola Hazik. And the answer in the end is, and that's what Rav Ashi says in the end is, no. The whole reason that by any Kavanat Ola Hazik you're Ptur is because of Kavanat Ola Hazik. Because if we would separate and say, when Kavanat Ola Hazik, they are Ptur. When any Kavanat Ola Hazik, they are Chayav, then what are they going to do all the time? They're going to go and say, right, we didn't do it on purpose. And then they're going to create problems for their master. So in order to prevent that type of problem, we were almost built there, attacking that even in ain't Kavanat Ola Hazik, they're patur. But what's the whole reason? Because of Kavanat Ola Hazik. So based on that, we know that Kavanat Ola Hazik is the reason, but then again, the reason is because of the problem.
Well, that reason works either way.
Right. Shogun Akira Kena Rabbo. So now, from there, we can't bring any proof. Hello, Borya Coffee. This is the way you have to say. Lo Rayi Karen, Shekavanat Ola Hazik. Karaya Shane, Shain Kavanat Ola Hazik. No, the problem is that you can't learn Shane out of Karen. Why? Because Karen has the extra added feature of Kavanat Ola Hazik. Shane is Ain Kavanat Ola Hazik, so you can't learn that out from Karen. Velo Raya Shane, Shesh Hanala Hazeko, Karaya Karen, Shain Hanala Hazeko. And Shane, which has this added Chumra, that is Hanala Hazeko, so if you just had Shane, you couldn't learn out Karen. Shein and Lachin don't go from it. So what the Gemara did now was switch around which was first and which was second. Why does that make a difference? Because in the formulation, we always learn the second item from the first item. The way it was formulated before, it worked out to be a Kavah Chumrah, because we were saying one item doesn't have the Chumrah, and the second item does have the Chumrah. Well, if it has the Chumrah, then you should be able to learn it out on the first item. So Gemara, by switching them around, says no. If the first one has the Chumrah, and the second one doesn't have the Chumrah, then you can't learn them out. So that's the structure now of the Gemara. Now, Gemara wants to know, for Shmuel, we know that Shor means Karen, Mave means Shane, where is Regel from? So that's where it says Regel, Mai, Shirye, where is the Regel? Where's Regel found in the Mishnah? It says it's in the member, the general member of the Gemara, of the Mishnah, Shechezik Chava Mazik, Latui Regel. Right, so there's a general statement that when someone does damage, they are responsible for that damage. And that comes to include regel. It's not the one, we have that actually learned in our Mishnah, but it's also in the following Mishnah. And it's from the following Mishnah that we learned it out, not our Mishnah. The litnei behedjo. So, well, why don't you just write it explicitly? Why are you hiding regel under this general comment versus the other items which you're writing explicitly? So, elo amar robot, that doesn't make sense. So we have to explain Shmuel this way. Tana shor l'raglo. No, in our Mishnah, Shor is Regel, and Mave is Shane. V'hachi kamar, and this is how to explain it. Lo raya Regel, she'ezika matsui, k'raya Shane, she'enezika matsui. So you can't learn Shane out of Regel, because Regel's damage is a common occurrence, happens as it works in its normal course of, action, and therefore you can't learn out Shane, which is not as common a type of damage. If you just had chain, you wouldn't be able to learn out regel, because regel does not have that aspect of there's some sort of enjoyment for the behemoth from its damage. Its damage is done just as it walks around and naturally. Now, but Karen Mais, right? So what are you going to do with Karen now? You have to include Karen somewhere. So that he says, because Shechazik Chava Mazik, that's who you're Karen. So use the part of the mission, the general statement in the mission, to include Karen. Velitnei behedja. What did Rava solve? Meaning that all he did was move from, instead of being regel, he didn't want that. Right. Now he put Karen as the one that's left out. What's the difference? So that's what Rava explained. Mimu adi mitchilatam kamari. That our mission is talking about only items or damage that is mu'ad mitchila. Meaning that automatically once you do that damage, you're chayim fully, holy and phobi. That is not true, right, with Karen. Betamim, lusof mu'adim, lo kamari. With Tam in the beginning. And then mu'ad afterwards, meaning that Karen, the damage of Karen, for the first two or three times, we'll see that the muscles is later on, but assuming the first three times, the animal is classified as a tam, right, as a tame or domesticated animal, and you only pay half damage. It's only after the third time that they would pay full damage. So that's not, the Mishnah's not dealing with that. That's why it was put in this, you know, stuck under the rug in the other Mishnah, is because it's different than the other Avot Nizikin that are mentioned here. So when it says, Shmuel, my time, although I'll mark a Rav. Why doesn't Shmuel hold like Rav? Meaning that, where's Adam? Right, as Shaul pointed out before, for Shmuel. Amalekai, Itzak Adat Adam, right, Haktani Seifa. But if you think Mav is Adam, then we have Adam that's found in the Seif of the Mishnah. Seif of the Mishnah is not the next Mishnah, but two Mishnayot later. We have Adam that's mentioned in a list of items that are Mu'adim Mitzchilatam, right, things that are Mu'ad. It says Shora Mu'ad, B'Shora Mazik, B'Shuta Nezak, V'Adam. New item that is Shora Mu'ad, that pay Nezak Shalem. Shora Mazik, B'Shuta Nezak. Shora that damages in the property of a Nezak, which is the question mark, whether you're Chayav there. It happens to be one opinion in the Gemara there. V'Adam. And a person. Where it says, the litnei bereshit. Okay, so Adam found there, but why not write Adam in the first Mishnah included as one of the Avot Nezikim? It says, v'nizke mamon kamari, v'nizke gufo lo kamari. Our Mishnah, the first Mishnah, is dealing with his money, his possessions that do damage. Not he himself doing damage. He himself doing damage, that's later on. We'll deal with that later on. But his possessions doing damage, that's what we're discussing in this Mishnah, so therefore it's not appropriate to include Adam in the first Mishnah. Umar says, well, Rav Nami, Haktani Adam B'Seifa. Alright, well now, if Adam is really found in this Mishnah coming up, then why did Rav put Adam in our Mishnah? Says, Amar Rav, how will the Mekshavei B'Hadei Mu'adim? Who? Da'ata. Later on, the reason Adam is mentioned in the Mishnayot coming up is not because it's classifying it as a category of damage, it's rather going through, it's making a list of items that are Mu'adim, right? They're going through things that are mu'ad, that are considered automatically designated as damaging items, that they do damage, and they'll be obligated or culpable for their damage. So one of the things they list is Adam. That's not classifying it as a category. Within the category, that's the first Mishnah. That Mishnah is just making a list of things that are mu'ad. Adam happens to be one of those items, so it's mentioned there.
And Shmuel, according to Rav, is inclusive in our Mishnah.
So when it mentions the Shor Mu'ad, it's also repetition, right? Exactly. Okay, well, my...
Because we're only repeating
Adam,
that would be...
Right. No, we're repeating anything, right, that has that classification of Mu'ad. My Lo Harei, right? So what does it mean? Now, how do you explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah says you can't learn one out of the other. So this is Haktan Kamar, Lo Roi Yashur, Shemeshalim Et HaKofer, Kerei Adam, Shemeshalim Et HaKofer. Right, we can't learn out Adam from Shor. Why? Because a Shor Mu'ad that kills a person is obligated to pay Kofar. And an Adam that kills another person doesn't pay Kofar. So there's a Chumrah in Shor that kills that doesn't apply to an Adam that kills. Velo Roi Adam Shechayav Ba'arba Dvarim Roi Shor Shein Ben Arba Dvarim. And you can't learn out Shor from Adam because Adam is Chayav actually in five things, but Nezek is shared, but both of them do have a chayv and nezek. But a person who does damage is also chayv in an additional four items. Not only for the damage they did, but for shevet, right, ripoy, boshet,
tsar.
Right, all of these items that they're chayv, those other four things. That is not true of shor. You can't learn out shor from Adam. Atzara shevet shevehen shadar kana hazik. That they naturally, or their natural ways to do damage. Right, says, v'chi shor dar kana hazik. Wait, according to Rav, why do we say that Shor is Dark Lazik? We have a classification or category called Tam. There's a category called Tam, that means that it's not Dark Lazik, because the first three times it's considered to be domesticated and it only pays half the damage. So when it says Muad, right? So it says when he's already Muad. Okay, so when it says Muad Dark Lazik, but meaning that Muad is really Dark Lazik, that's not true. Kaven Deayin or Chehu. Now, once you've already warned it, or it's become so common for this animal, then it becomes Dark Ol Hazik. Not that, meaning that it wasn't Dark Ol Hazik, but after three times, say it's just Chayav. No. It's just that once you get to that level three times, that becomes Dark Ol Hazik already. That becomes its natural way, which is to do damage. So, Mar says, Adam Dark Ol Hazik. Is it true that people naturally damage or cause damage to other people's possessions? We don't see every person walking around and it's a big damage machine, right? That's not the case. So Gemara says, be yashen, when he's sleeping. Gemara says, yashen, darko hazik. What do you mean? When he's sleeping, what type of damage does a person do? He says, gave it to kaifu, push it, or chayhu. that the person moves around in their sleep. They stretch out, they go, you move around, they roll over. So therefore, it's dark on hazik, meaning that any item that's within their, you know, kelim, if they go to sleep and there's a bunch of glass on the bed, right, they can pretty much assume that they're going to roll over onto the glass and break it. So that is already dark al hazik, because the natural assumption is that a person's not going to be in the exact same spot where they went to sleep in when they wake up. So Mer says, and then you have to guard them. Right? That's one of the common themes of the Mishnah. It says, well, both of them are similar in that Shmirat Analecha, that you have to watch them. Adam Shmirat Gufo Alav. Who, right? How can you explain that? When you say somebody, you have the obligation to watch or protect or secure something, that you can talk about possessions, you can talk about animals. You can't talk about a person themselves being obligated to secure themselves. Right? That's not the way you would describe it. The person has to control themselves, but it's not Shmirat Analecha. Right, so the Tameich, where it says, well, according to you, how did Tani Karna Arba Avot Nezikin Vadam Echad Mehem? According to you, we have a Breisa, right? Karna's Breisa that says that there are four Avot Nezikim, and a person, Adam, he explicitly says, not Maver, but Adam is one of them. Right? Adam Shmirat Gufo Lavu. Right? How does he explain, when he makes it explicit that it's Adam in the Mishnah, how does he explain the word Shmirat Analecha? Ella, but it must be that Shmir Elik Samuel Rabbi Bo, the Tana. Right, that's how Rabbi Bo explained it to the Tana. Snei, Adam Shmirat Gufo Alav. Right, it's not Shmirat Tana Lecha, but Shmirat Gufo Alav. That he has to take care of himself. He has to secure himself. He has to control himself. Hakanami, Snei Adam Shmirat Gufo Alav. Also over here, we'll explain not that it's Shmirat Tana Lecha, but either you write Shmirat Gufo Alav, or the Shmirat Tana Lecha will be interpreted to mean Shmirat Gufo Alav. Alright, so that's the sequencing of the mission until this point is that we have a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, as to what Maveh is, and we have to explain what's the difference or how they're different in their opinion. So we said Shmuel believes, according to Rava, Shmuel believes that Regel and Shein are found in our mission. Regel is under the category of Shur, Shein is under the category of Maveh, Karen is left out of the Mishnah because it is not mu'ad mitchila, right? It's not something that is automatically considered to be damaging or a damaging animal, and therefore it's not enumerated in the Mishnah as one of the avos in the Mishnah. Now Adam, why didn't he learn like Rav? Why didn't he learn that Mav is Adam? Because Adam is already found in a Mishnah further on. So because of that, he has to put Adam in our Mishnah. That's Shmuel's opinion. Now Rav's opinion is that Mav in our Mishnah is Adam. Sure, and our mission includes Shane, Regel, and Karen. All those items. So now, okay, Shmuel has a good point that Adam is found in the Mishnah further on. They say no, because the one when it's found later on, it's found in a list of items when we're talking about what is Mu'ad. It's not defining categories of a vote, it's just listing everything that's on Mu'ad. Adam happens to be one of those items that's Mu'ad. But when we're discussing Adam himself, we're talking about Adam in our Mishnah, that's a vote, our Av Nezek, which is someone that does damage, or the category of damage called Adam. Now, in addition to that, how do you explain now the Mishnah, the wording in the Mishnah of Lo Ra'i, which means that, what's the difference between Adam and Shur? Right, the difference between Adam and Shur is that Shur has, when it's a Mu'ad, has Kofar, Adam does not have Kofar. On the other hand, what's the chumra of the tzal Adam is that Adam pays five things, right? The nezek, arba dvarim, and the shur only pays one thing, so you can't learn out one from the other. Each one has a tzad chumra. And then again, what do you do with the shmirat analecha? Is that either you redefine it to say shmirat gufo alav, or you say that means shmirat analecha means shmirat gufo alav, not just watching, securing your possessions, but also person controlling themselves that they don't, or watching over themselves, making sure that they don't. They don't do any damage. Now again, Shmuel, why didn't Shmuel put the Adam in the ratio and the Adam in the Sefer Tzeis list? Because he says that the Mishnah, our Mishnah, is only dealing with Nizkei Mamon. It's only dealing with items when your possessions do damage. Not, right, when Nizkei Gufo, not when you yourself do damage. Those are two different categories. So he leaves Nizkei Mamon there and he puts that Nizkei Gufo will be listed later on, not in our Mishnah. Now there are a couple of questions here, some very important questions, which is that the Gemara says here you can't learn out Adam from Shur, because by Shur you pay Kofar, by Adam you don't pay Kofar. Why don't you pay Kofar by Adam? I mean that. Right. Oh, so it shows us because it's kinlay d'rabim in it. The reason you don't pay kofrit is because you have a much worse situation. He's going to be killed. Right? He's either going to go galus. Right? He's going to go galus or get killed. And therefore, he's poster, he's kofrit. Right? The reason that he doesn't pay kofrit is not because it's a kula for him. It's because he has a much more severe punishment that is eliminating the need for kofrit over here. How can you claim that there's a chumra by shor of kofrit, and therefore you can't learn an adam from it? Truthfully, adam is kaya kofrit plus, meaning that he can't pay kofrit because he gets a much more severe punishment. So that's the question over here. How could you say that? Because it's kimlei rabim. If that's the case, so he says hikshar viva. I'm sorry, kimlei rabim means that when you have dual punishments to give, we give the most severe punishment, and the other one drops away. So hikshar viva. So it tells us here, kray adam shemish shalem et kofer. Hikshar viva asks this question: my chumra hizu. What type of chumra is this that it doesn't adam doesn't pay kofer? He gets the more severe of the two punishments, so he's getting death penalty. Right, and we know that shokig is also poter mikofer. So that the Riva suggests that the difference, or the reason that kofer is really a kula over here, is because even when he's not getting killed, I mean, even when he's not getting skila for killing another individual, he still has the possibility when he's a shokig. So he put into Golus. And even when he's put into Golus, he's poter mikofer. There, you don't necessarily have this kimlei d'rabim minei, because it's Golus, it's not being killed. And nevertheless, he still, he says, Roma Ri, the love pircho hi kwa. So now, the Ri, on the other hand, gives a different answer. And this is the answer, right, I think makes sense. The lo mister mishum de kimlei d'rabim minei. The reason Adam is poter mikofer is not because of kimlei d'rabim minei. Truthfully, right, it comes from a miut from the pasuk. The miut in the pasuk says, right, that the pasuk says that alav, that you pay kofir for him, velo ala adam, meaning that the shor pays kofir. You pay kofir when a shor kills, and not when adam kills. So it's a miut in the pasuk. Had it not been for the exclusion in the pasuk, the person would have gotten tefillah and paid kofir. The person would have put in galus and paid kofir. So the reason that you're pasuk from kofir here has nothing to do with the kimlei d'rabim minei, has nothing to do with the alternative punishment. As to the fact that the pasuk says you don't pay kofar in this instance. If that's the case, then it really is a kula. Right? Because if you had said that the reason you don't pay kofar here is because he has a more severe punishment, then you can't view the lack of payment of kofar as a kula. You have to view it as being actually a chumra because he's not paying kofar because he's getting much more severe punishment. But if you say truthfully, if he could have been chayiv both. He could have been chayiv mitzah and kofar, or chayiv golus and kofar. The only reason he's not chayav is because the pasuk has a miut and excludes him from kofar. If that's the case, then the not paying of kofar is really a kula, because it's irrespective of the punishment that he's getting, or alternative punishment he's getting. And that's where the relearns. So that's why it's a kula over here. It's a kula because it's the reason we don't pay kofar is because, not because of the kimlei rabbi or the alternative punishment, but because of the exclusion from the pasuk.
I mean, why wouldn't you say kimlei?
You have to say either that it's exeus a kasuk, that there isn't, or that it's a knas. It's not really mamon. I mean, that the only thing that's pasuk is mamon. Kofar, right, necessarily, if it's a knas, then it may not be pasuk over here. So it's only mamon would be eliminated, not knas, in the kimlei rabbi meaning. Alright, so now, Gemara. Mari continues over here. Matki for Rav Mari. So Rav Mari suggests, of course, mix up the pot here. He suggests, why does Mava have to either be, right, Shane, or why does it have to be Adam? There are other alternatives. Why don't we say, he says, the aim of Mava is Damayim. Let's say the Mava is water, damage through water. Kirichtiv, because the pasuk says, Kidkoach Esh Hamatsim. Just like the fire melts, you know, the powerful fire melts things, or the melting fire burns, right? Mayim tibe esh. Water bubbles up or boils up water. So you see that the word tibe is used by mayim.
So it was fire.
Well, all right. No, the way to read it is mayim tibe, right? And that passes. Mayim will be boiled by fire. Okay. So that, by the way, your question is exactly the Gemara's question. Because the tibeh is not really modifying the mayim, it's modifying esh. So, well, you question the way I translate it is exactly what the problem in the pasuk is. Where it says, mit tib mayim nivu, doesn't say that the water does something to the esh, but rather, tibeh esh ktiv, meaning that the water is boiled by the fire. So tiv'eh, the verb bo'eh is modifying the fire, not the h. It's saying what the action of the fire is.
The water, not
water. Right. So matzik barav vid, ve'ma ma'ah. Okay. All right. So you can't even mind, but let's make it into h. You just said that the tiv'eh is modifying the h. It says, Ihochi mai hamave b'hahever. Wait a minute, there is another, a fourth one of the zikim is hever. Hever in our Mishnah is esh. That means that you'll have two categories that are classified as esh. So well, that doesn't make sense. When it says, v'chitem e'pushay kem e'foresh, so what are you going to say? Oh, well, it's exactly, it says the category is called maveh. What is maveh? That's hever. And maveh is hever. Yochi arba'ah shlosha havi. Why would you say there are four avot nizikin? There are really only three avot nizikin then. Right, no, you could say what? Shor includes two items, right? It can include Shuren and Rega. Right, so if Shor includes, you can have Shor include two items, and Mav and Hever be H, then you still have four. Yochi, then he says, how do you explain the rest of the Lashon of Mishnah? Doesn't make sense. Why? Lo zev zesh yesh ben ruach chayim. You can't learn out from Mav Eh and Shor to H or to Bor. Why? Because they're alive. Alright, so now, that makes sense if you say Mave is Shane. That makes sense if you say Mave is Adam. Because then they're alive. But if you say Mave is Eish, Eish, Maruach Chaim Yisbeh, Eish is not alive. You can't say that the common characteristic between Mave and Shor is that they are alive. Right? Because Mave is Eish, which is not alive. So the two, my Kahari Eish. Right, what are you going to say? How do you explain the next line in the Mishnah? Is that you can't explain these two because they're alive like Eish. What do you mean? You just said, one of the categories is H. Of course it means H.
You just said that. Right.
That would seem to be the most obvious truth. Right, so that is the answer. The wire took its time getting there, but the answer again is that it could, truthfully the word could be H, but the problem is that the Mishnah explicitly has H there already, and it won't fit into the rest of the Mishnah, so therefore we have to use Mavet to mean something else, and that can either mean according to Rav Adam, or according to Shmuel, it will mean Shane.
Right,
so very good. So talk to that, your question, a little bit like your question. What is the damage of mayim? What is mayim? Like, what damage does mayim do? So first of all, if it's direct water, meaning that you did something, you as a human being directed water onto somebody, then that's what's called koach mishon, and you're responsible. Because the person is responsible for himself and any koach, any outlet of his power, then it's...
Such as
mucus. Right, we saw that, right? With mucus, with saliva, those items. But any that water, if he directed water somehow onto a person, that's koach mishon, then he'll be responsible. The other possibility is that he did something that allowed water to come onto somebody. That's called koach sheni. Koach sheni is groma, right? It is causation, and groma is, in general, patur, right? Min hazikin. So it's trying to search for this case of what the Gemara is asking when it says mayim is a type of hezek. So it comes to the conclusion that it's a case of mayim koach sheni, where you are derivative. It was a derivative of your action causes the water to do damage. And nevertheless, we're gonna at this point, the Gemara is gonna think that koach sheni is chayav. That's exactly what the Mishnah is coming to tell you. That koach sheni and mayim is chayav, and that's what the hava meaning of the Gemara is. And because once it settles, if the water already lands and then does damage, then it becomes like bor, meaning that it's already settled and it can't be. So it has to be while the bor is in motion, right? It has to be koach sheni. It can't be directly your action because that's adam, but it has to be a secondary action that causes the water to flow here. Now, after two dots, Gemara says, well, you thought that getting four was difficult. We have other Tanoim who think that there are many more categories of damage. Tani Rav Oshia, Shlosha Asar Avot Nizikim. There are 13 categories of Nezek. Right, so I'm saying like four, now we're up to 13, it's a big jump. So you get classified them. What are they? So these are, again, Rashi learns that in order to be an Av HaNezek, it has to be written in the Pasuk. We have Shomer Chinam, Vashoel, Noset Tachar, Vatocher. So these are four categories of damage where a Shomer Chinam is somebody who is engaged to watch over an item for free. Right? A Shoel, someone who borrows an item. Noset Tachar, this is someone who is paid to watch over an item. And a Tocher, and a renter. So in all of these cases, right, there is, the Torah writes them, we have these parshiyot of Torah, that are found in Mishpatim, Perachav Bet, and we're going to get to them later in the Masechta. So, these are four categories that are considered avot nizikim. Now, truthfully, these are four categories, but there are only three dinim. Because the Gemara has a machlokas whether a socher is a classified as a right a shomer shachar or a shomer chinam. The question about machlokas, what's the classification of a socher? So because of that, it's a really there are four items here, but three dinim out of these four. Nezek, tsar, ripui, shevet, uboshet. Right, now we have the five categories that a person is chayav for. That's nezek, tsar, ripui, shevet, and boshet. So all these five categories will be avot and nizikin because they are all found in the psukim. Right, so since these are all found in the psukim, therefore they are classified as avot nizikin, and Rashi has to say that. So now you have nine, va'arba demasnisin, and the four of our Mishnah.
There's only nine. Right,
I said, Tosu says that. He says there are 13 categories but 12 dinim. That's how he explains it. 13 categories but 12 dinim. Alright, so now, the Gemara says, Atzalaisar, Vatani Tizan, Mai Tamar Lotani Hani. So our Mishnah, why is he at 4 and why is Raboshi at 13? So he says, because, Bishlam of the Shmuel, according to Shmuel, we can explain that easily. Beniske Mamon Kamari, Beniske Gufalo Kamari. Our Mishnah deals with his possessions doing damage, not he himself doing damage. So if you eliminate he himself doing damage, you just eliminated all the shomerim, which is the four, plus nezek tzar, ripui, shevet, and boshet, which is the person himself doing damage. So you've eliminated the first nine, and that's why he's left with four. Elo l'rav, litnei tana adam, b'chol milei da adam. Like Shaul pointed out, according to Rav, we do have adam in our Mishnah. If you have adam in our Mishnah, why don't we include all these other categories of adam? So Rabbi Yoshe, nami, tana le adam. So second of all, according to Rav, the word Adam is already found there, so it means that one of the four, according to Rav, is Adam. So why is Ravoshia including Adam plus right another whole series of items that are Adam again? So where it says straight Gavnei Adam, there's two different types of damage that Adam can do. There's Tana Adam Dazik Adam. There's a man that damages another man, or you know, an individual that damages another individual. Tana Adam Dazik Shor. And definitely, we have Adam who's Mazik Ashor, meaning that you can have a person that damages another person. Or you can have a person that damages someone else's possessions. Right, so that, in a mission, the Adam is damaging other possessions. Over here, Rabosh is looking at a person who does damage to another person. So it says, Mar says, Hi ochi shor nami. Well, if that's the case, what about shor? Right, litne, trey gabne shor. Why don't we say shor can classify into two categories? What is that? Litne shor da azik shor. Litne shor da azik adam. Because there really are. Even in the Pesukim, it's separated out. We have, right? Chi gof shor et shor re'ehu. And we also have chi gach shor et ish o'isha. That the ox gores a person, and the ox gores another ox. So they're actually two different. Why can't there be two different categories? So, hamai, what type of question is that? Vishlam adam dazik shor nezeku de mishalein adam dazik adam mishalein arba devarim. That when a person does damage to a shor, all he pays is nezek. When a person does damage to another individual, he pays nezek plus the additional four dvarim. So there's actually a different din between damaging a person and damaging a shor. El a shor, mali shor does ik shor, mali shor does ik adam. A shor that does damage to another individual, to another shor, or to an adam, the same din applies. They pay nezek, and that's it. I mean that there's no differentiation in din between these two items. So there's no differentiation between these two items. Why? I mean, why would you suggest to divide the categories up in this manner? Gemara says, Yitvizei nezeku demishalim. Now the Gemara asks the question, wait a minute. You divide it up between Adam that's mazik begufo, and Adam that is mazik, right, with a, or with mazik a possession. V'hashom rechinam, v'hashom v'nosusach v'atzochot, v'adam dazik shorhu. Wait, that classification is not Adam who is mazik another Adam. That's fine when you talk about the Arba Devarim. Right, that's also fine that in our Mishnah we discuss Adam the Mazik Shor. But these other categories of the Shomrim and the Shom and the Socher, those are cases where you're damaging someone else's possession, someone else's property. So why isn't that included in the Adam mentioned in our Mishnah? So when it says, Adam Mazik Shor with Tani. So when it says, Tana Hezeika Deviyadayim, Tana Hezeika Demeilo. No, the Mishnah differentiates between Hezek that's done Biyadayim, where you actively go and do the hezek, and the Mishnah also enumerates the case where you do hezek, mamela comes by itself. Right? I mean that there are two ways a person can do damage. A person can do damage because, right, they're in the active mode of going out to do damage, or they can do damage because they are in the process of doing something, and because of that, they end up, right, doing damage to someone else. They have teshlume kefel, double payment that is paid for when someone steals an item. Teshlume arba chamisha, payment that's made for a person that toveach u'mocher, right, that he shechs or sells the item, a short set. V'ganav, so we have to explain how ganav is different than teshlume kefel. Ganav, v'gazlan, and a gozel, right, v'edim zomimim, va'onet, so Edim Zomim are Edim that testify, right, testify falsely about some sort of something that transpired, and then other Edim come along and say you could not make such testimony because you were with us at the time that you're claiming that you saw this action take place. But Ones, someone who rapes, someone who seduces, Moshi Shemra, right, Ones pays 50 shekel, Mefate pays 50 shekel, Moshi Shemra pays 100 shekel to the father. Ve'hamitamei, someone who is mitamei, like the truma of a friend. Ve'mitameya, somebody mixes up truma and chulin of a person. Ve'hamenasech, right, someone who is nasech yayin to a vodah zarah. And we have to explain. The Gemara explains in other places why that's not kimle derabamine. Right, that's the remember show. Vanet leisa plus the 13 that Rav Oshia had. You have these enumerated here. These 11 plus the 13 that Rav Oshia had. Now again, Rashi says all these items are enumerated as tukim, therefore they are classified as avot nizikim because they are all written in the tukim. Now, a couple of things. First of all, some of them are not written in the tukim, and number two is what's the difference between teshlume kefel and ganav? So Rashi points out that there's a difference. Ganav has a separate category in the Torah that says the shevet of vila asher gazal. So there is a separate category for gazlan. A ganav usually pays teshlume kefel. He's caught, he pays teshlume kefel. But if he comes and admits that he stole, then he only pays the keren. That's the difference between teshlume kefel, is where someone else testifies that he's caught stealing. Ganav is a classification where he admits to have stolen, then he just has to pay the value of the item that he stole. That's how we differentiate there. Now, there are actually certain things like metame, midameya, emenaseh, which are not explicit in the psukim. Those aren't found in the psukim, right? Nevertheless, Rashi says they're classified as a vote because they're under the same category of nezek. And nezek is mamon ktipa Torah. That nezek of other people's property is written in the Torah. And so it's equivalent, or it's if these were written in the Torah. It's not so simple because, right, you say that about almost anything, right? Damage done to other people's property is written in the Torah, then why do we have separate categories at all? Rashi says it's classified as if it's written in the Torah because it's under this broad umbrella of damaging other people's property. Alright. Now, first ask you a question. Rav Oshia, my time, a lotani hani. So why didn't Rav Oshia, when he is 13, why didn't he get up to 24? It says Bamona Kamari, the constant lokamari. So first of all, he says, he only dealt with monetary obligations, but Ezek, not. So now that makes there a God. So now that we can eliminate from knas, we can eliminate teshlume kefel and teshlume abar b'chamisha. How do you know something is a knas? Knas means that I pay an amount that is not equal to the true value of the object. Whether more or less doesn't matter, but that's considered a knas if I pay more or less. And that's, so when you pay double, when you pay 4 or 5 times, it's clearly a knas because those exceed the value of the object. So those are eliminated. And that eliminates Ones, Kasu, Mefate, Motsi Shemra, all those are knas, because those are fixed amounts, no matter what the value or what other dowry they could have gotten, and so on. Now, the problem is Ganav and Gazlan. Ganav and Gazlan, that Ganav is just paying the value, the Karen, the Gazlan is returning the item, right? Then there's the Mamonahu. Those are monetary obligations, because you're paying the exact amount of the item that was stolen. Litnei, so he should have written those. Where it says, Haftani Le, Shomer Chinam, Vashoel. They're already included under the category of Shomer Chinam. And Shoel is really thrown in here. It's not really Shoel. It's really under Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam has, how does the Shomer Chinam steal? Why is the Shomer Chinam obligated? It's because he steals the object that someone gave him. That's the point. That's Gneva already. It's already classified. Gneva Gazlan is classified there. So when I said Rav Chia Nami. So then what is Rav Chia going to do with that? Hat Tani Le Shomer Chinam Ve Shoel. He also has Shomer Chinam in his Shoel. So how does he get around that problem? So it says Tani Mamona Da Atal Yodet Ben Teira. Tani Mamona Da Atal Yodet Ben Teira. Now you could differentiate between them because the Shomer Chinam, how did he get possession of the object that he's now stealing? It's because it was given to him. It was given to him by the owner, right, to hold on. And then after the owner gives it to him, he steals it. I mean, then he keeps it and he says it's gone. Or someone else stole it and he keeps it for himself. Whereas when you're talking about a ganav himself, you're talking about someone who went and from the moment it was taken bisura. Right, so now Gemara says, Eidim Zomimim de Mamono Vitnei. Well, what about Eidim Zomimim? Eidim Zomimim is a classification of Mamon. So, Sabalo ki Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Eim Shalman of Yatman. One of the ways that you know something is a knas, and I said before, how do you identify knas? You identify knas by establishing that the payment is a value that does not change despite the changing value of the damage of the object. So, in instance, again, one of the classes of killing Eved, you have to pay Shloshim Shekel, 30 Shekel. Doesn't matter how much the Eved is worth, you always pay 30 Shekel. So that's clearly a knas, because it's irrespective of the true value of the Eved. Right, so now, so that was okay. Hashlumei Kesel is clearly a knas, Hashlumei Arba Chamisha, because they exceed the true value of the object, they're a knas. So now, one other way you can identify something as a knas is that most of the knas is potur. If you admit to doing something wrong, you do not have to pay knas. If you admit that, for instance, like Gnei, what we said, if you admit that you were ganav, you don't pay the keso, you don't pay the double amount. You pay the karen, but you don't pay the keso, the double amount, and the double amount is a knas. Most of the knas is potur. So we know that Rabbi Kiva's opinion by Eidim Zomimim is Ein Shalmin Afiyatman. If they go and admit that they were Eidim Zomimim, they don't pay. So that proves to you, or that shows you, it's indicative that it's really a knas and not mamon. So then he's going to hold, Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Kiva, who says that Ein Shalmin Afiyatman, therefore it's a knas, and that's why he didn't include it in his list of categories. So I said, he's never like Rabbi Kiva, Litnei Shrei Gavnei Shor. Wait a minute. If you want to get Rabbi Kiva involved in the fray here, then you should have two categories of shor. Why? Litnei shor da'azik shor, but litnei shor da'azik adam. Why don't you think you should have a classification of a shor that does damage to another shor, and shor that does the damage to adam? Wait, we said before that there is no difference. There's no differentiation. Oh, but Rabbi Kiva there is. It's not Rabbi Kiva, Mer. Af tam shchaval ba'adam shalem b'motan ezek shalem. Right, that Rabbi Kiva believes that a tam, when it damages an adam, pays nezek shalem right away. That this dispensation to pay only half damage for a tam only is about a shor that damages another shor. That's where it's found in the Torah. But not about a shor that damages a adam. And therefore there will be a difference between a shor that damages a adam and a shor that damages a shor. And therefore there should have been two categories of shor. Marzez, ha-tavre ra-kiva le-gizizeh. Right, Rav, now according to Rashi means that, or sounds like, that Rabbi Akiva retracted this statement, or retracted this position. The Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yochal Af Tam Shechavah Ba'adam Mishalem Min Aliyah, Tamal Omar Yeselo Yufo Mishalem Menu Mishalem Min Aliyah. Right, so there are two ways you can pay for damage, we discussed this yesterday. You could either be obligated for damage, meaning that the obligation to pay damage is out of your pocket, no matter how much the damage is, you're going to have to pay it. Or we can cap your damages, right, at the value of the object that did damage. So if you're sure goes out and does damage, we'll cap your obligation in the Zikin to the value of the shore that did damage. Beyond that, you want to pay. That's called migufo. You pay out of the goof of the object that did damage, the mazik. And then you can pay what's called min aliyah, means that you pay no matter how much the damage is, you're going to pay even if it exceeds the value of the object that did the damage. Now, a tam, this is a category, a muad. Let's say it this way. A shor muad that does damage, a shor that is paying full freight on its damage, pays min aliyah, pays no matter how much the damage is, you gotta pay. Shor tam is mishalem migufo. Right? A shor tam pays out of its body, meaning that it's the value, the half value, the half net that you have to pay, cannot exceed the value of the shor that did damage, migufo. That'll be indicative, meaning that when a object pays migufo, we know it's paying a chatzin nezik, we know it's a tam. When it's paying min aliyah, then it's a shor muad, and it's paying, right, full freight, and we know that it's a muad. So now, we have a statement, a bright, the Rabbi Kibu said, yoko tam shekhalo ba'adam, yishalem min aliyah. Right, I would think that a tam that damages an adam will pay full amount of damage. Tam alomar, yeselo migufo mishalem minu mishalem min aliyah. And it only pays from its body. If it only pays from its body, that's indicative that it is a tam.
So it would be more than chatzin ezek, but not more than the value of
the tam. No, it's wrong. So that's the question. Very good. So Shaul's asking an excellent question. The way Rashi reads the Gemara is that Rabbi Kiva was chosen. Rabbi Kiva's chosen, and if he's saying you're paying me gufo, that means that there is such a category as tam by other. That is sure, it's called adam. There is a classification called tam, and that's why you pay migufo, because that means gufo is indicative that it is a tam. And then he reversed his position from the Mishnah. That's the way Rashi learns it over there. And that's why it's not a question. That's why he shouldn't have two categories of Shor, because Rabbi Akiva retracted his position. Tosfos is unwilling to say that. He says, first of all, how do you know that he retracted his position? We have a Mishnah, we have a Brisa. So who says that one trumps the other? So Tosfos says, like Shoah, what Shoah was suggesting is that, no, that there's actually two areas. That the fact is that it's Ein Mishalem El Gufo, right? Then you couldn't have put it in the avot that are listed because it's Mishalem Mimeta. So he says that based on this, that there are, Rabbi Akiva did not change his mind, right? Because he says that the Tam will pay full freight, but he'll only pay Mi Gufo. What's the problem if he pays for Gufo?
Third category.
Right, exactly. It's very good. Shaul is pointing out is that now it becomes an independent category. What is that? The Beit Chatzin has it, but he only pays Mi Gufo. So why can't you include that in our Mishnah? I'm sorry. He'll pay Nezek Shalem, but only to his Gufo. So that's the third category. Why can't you include that in our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that when you pay, you have to pay, right, all the avos, Shalem Mi Meitav. You have to pay for the full amount from Meitav, meaning of your land. That's indicative that you're paying the full amount of the Nezek out of your own possession without limitations to Gufo. As soon as you have a limitation, it can't fit in our Mishnah. So the reason, even though Rabbi Akiva still holds there are two categories of Shor, one of them does not fit in our Mishnah because of this limitation, which is all Nezek has to pay Mimeita of Ha'aretz. And that's why it will be excluded here according to Tosfos.